Our next speaker is Sara Malik, who's Vice President, Northumbria University Palestine Society.
Thank you. That's a tough one to follow, but I'll try. So, my name is Sara. I'm an activist. I don't know if I'd call myself an activist. I'm a member of the FOA. I've done some work with the PSC, and I'm also the Vice President of the Friends of Palestine Society at Northumbria University. This wasn't something I was going to mention, but you've brought it up and it feels relevant as someone who is very clearly Muslim. We're not trying to take over the country. We're not trying to implement Sharia law. We don't wish death to all the infidels, etc., etc., regardless of the mainstream rhetoric. I just want to put it out there. I, more than anyone, just want to be able to walk down the street or, you know, enter a room of white people and not feel the energy go down, which it's nice that in this room that's not the case, but I'm sure you guys know it, but I just want to reiterate that message. Onwards to what we're talking about today. There's so many stories now of, you know, massacres and murders, prominent academics, students, people who've been murdered, and there's too many to highlight, and I don't want to minimize it by simply listing a figure or by reading 30 of thousands of names. So what I do want to do is tell a story, and it's a story of a 17-year-old from southern Gaza named Salma Hamed, and I want to give her a voice because we are not hearing their voices right now. We're not hearing enough from Palestinians. And we can only spark passion, true passion, in ourselves when we begin hearing those stories. So I'm going to share a think piece that she did. Until 2 months ago, my life as a 17-year-old in Gaza was marked by the predictable anxieties and aspirations of a student applying to university. I dreamt of crossing borders to pursue a better life, of landing on my feet at an American school, and eventually of returning to serve my community as a doctor. Education was my blueprint for escaping this city of war. Now, as I huddle in a cramped, dimly lit room with 12 other women in Rafah, those dreams seem like fragments of another life. Our stomachs echo with hunger, and our throats burn with thirst. We exist in constant darkness, the world illuminated only by the flashes of missiles and the red glow of destruction. As you read this, I urge you to pause, to hear the shrill sirens and the heart-stopping booms of bombs and feel the tremors that shake our jaws. I have lived in Gaza for 17 years, but amid the ruins, I no longer recognize its streets. Where will I walk now? My family was forced to leave our home when the war broke out. I took only one bag. I wish it was large enough to carry my house, my cat, my memories. This week, when the Israeli army reached Khan Yunus, we had to flee for the fourth time. Even before October 7th, children in Gaza were born with the burden of struggle. We learned to walk on rubble, avoiding shrapnel like puddles. Still, this time is different. Looking around, I find myself in a space too small for dreams. There is only room for nightmares. Each morning, I awake from a few fleeting hours of sleep to news of another relative's death. The Israeli bombings are not only attacks on our city, but assaults on our humanity. They have destroyed our hospitals, schools, and places of worship, including mosques and churches. I'm not a terrorist. I'm a student, a sister, a daughter. My dreams are not a weapon. They are how I hope to rise above this conflict. Children in Gaza think not of conquest or destruction, but of a life untouched by the tyrant of war. We dream of classrooms, not wreckage, of playgrounds, not bomb craters. Our deaths should not be inevitable. Over the past few weeks, my Instagram feed has been flooded with voices from around the globe, uniting in an urgent plea for a ceasefire. It is not enough to lament the loss of life. There must be an unyielding effort to protect it. To devalue Palestinian life, to see it as less worthy of safety and dignity, is inhumane. Ceasing the bombardment is a moral obligation. How are we, the children of Gaza, to embrace Israel when every explosion that shatters the sky shapes our understanding of the world? Each bomb ravaging our streets sows deep within us seeds of fear, anger, and mistrust. Seeds that threaten to sprout and entangle our hearts for years to come. even if we stay alive, what will become of our futures? More than 15,000 people in Gaza, 70,000 of them women and children, have already been slaughtered. That figure is now above 30,000. Thousands more lie unrecognizable under the rubble. Up to 1.8 Palestinians have been displaced, myself included. We are not faceless statistics, but innocent human beings. History will look to us to measure the costs of moral weakness, the consequences of dismissing the sanctity of all human life. Now, I want to go on to Northumbria University and their complicity in this. So a few months ago, it is still relevant, but when it felt even more relevant and the media couldn't avoid it, Northumbria University announced that they were accepting an investment of £50 million from Lockheed Martin, which is a very well-known Israeli arms company. They're known for providing a lot of the weapons that are currently being used on the assault and bombardment of Gaza. Obviously, we were enraged, and we asked the Vice Chancellor if they believe that it's unethical that the University of Gaza, who is a research partner of Northumbria University, the fact that that has been bombed by the very weapons that they are then sending money to an organization that will create. We asked the Vice Chancellor, do you believe that that is unethical? And his response was, I believe you're making too many connections. We then asked him, can you assure us that a Palestinian is not going to sit in that space and research center and, you know, do some research towards a microchip that will then end up in a fighter jet or a drone that will then go and kill their family in Gaza? And that his response was, you're making too many connections. And I actually brought this up with Loki yesterday because he was talking a lot about, you know, Elbit Systems and Raphael, and he was talking about arms companies and the need to kind of shut them down. And his message was clear, that we need to make them feel unwelcome in our community. And that's what they did in Oldham with the Elbit Systems factory. They went door to door informing people, telling people that, you know, do you know what goes on in that factory? Do you know that this is happening in our city? And it got so impossible for that factory to stay in that town that they had to shut it down. And he advised that we do a similar thing, obviously, with Lockheed Martin. So we launched a petition, which currently sits at around 500 signatures, which, to be honest, is disappointing. Newcastle Uni alone has 1,000 students who have identified as Muslims, so that should be 1,000 guaranteed signatures. Now, looking around this room, it's very clear our allies are not just Muslims, so that number should be way, way higher than it is, and it's disappointing that it's not. We need to get better at mobilizing. You know, students, as students, when we take action on campus, we take on that risk to ourselves, whether that is being dropped from the university, whether our degrees get taken away. I'm a degree apprentice, so I work actually at the office next door. I'm probably not gonna mention what company it is, but I work in the office just opposite this building. When you walk out, just have a look, it's on the wall. I'm not gonna mention it in case anyone's recording. But if they were to know that I sit on platforms like this and I speak like this, that's very likely my job gone. So to address that, as a community, we have a collective duty to come out in our numbers. The police, you know, hecklers, anyone, they don't feel that same power when we are out in our thousands and in our millions. If there's 10 of us walking down the street, they probably are going to come up to us and say something. But when you've got 1,000 people marching down Northumberland Street, we outnumber them. And in this cause, we do outnumber them. This country wants a ceasefire. We want to see a ceasefire. We want to see an end to the occupation. We don't want to see a genocide of Palestinians unravel in front of us with our taxpayer money. So my key message today is when we mobilize on campus, it's not just for students. Campuses, they're public property. Anyone can, you know, stroll on, and if there happens to be a Palestine demonstration, you know, stick around. So my request is, when you do find out about these actions, don't feel like, oh, okay, it's directed towards the university, I can't go there. You should say, it's directed towards the university, I should go there. I should show my support. Because, I mean, what is there, like, what, 40, 50 people in this room? That's 40, what, 50 more people at those demonstrations where we are literally harassed by university staff, by university chaplains, pro-Zionist staff, and we are literally made to feel like we need to get off campus. And we still stand firm, and obviously it's the adrenaline at the time, it keeps you there. But later on, it can feel nerve-wracking, you know, did someone get a picture of me, or is someone going to report me, etc., etc. So everyone in this room has a duty to come out in their numbers. Now, Loki said something yesterday, which I actually disagree with. He said that we are not important to universities because they just see us as coming and going, so they don't really consider our opinions. I disagree. I'm a business student, and the first thing they teach us about business success is keeping your stakeholders happy. We are probably one of the biggest stakeholders in the university, and not to mention we are a commodity to them. They don't have revenue if we don't go to these universities. So actually we do matter. Our say does matter. What we are unhappy about does matter. And so my message is, Northumbria University, Newcastle University, your largest stakeholders are very unhappy. We don't accept our fees being used to fund genocide, and we've made it our mission to cause your business to fail until you listen to us. So good luck, because we are coming. Thank you.
Thanks very much.